This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego, ouchmyego.com.
Hey there, LB.
Oh, hello, Andrew.
Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks.
It's been a while.
Has it?
Yeah, it has.
Oh, well, I see you every day. Here's some behind the scenes of what did we just watch. Andrew and I live together.
Yeah, that's true. We do. I think everybody knew that already, considering we're a married couple and all that.
Couple of what?
Crazy people. Well, let's jump in. What did we just watch?
Kathy's Curse.
Meet the Gimbal's daughter, Kathy. See through Kathy's eyes. Just when you thought horror films reached an intensely shocking peak of terror, here is Kathy's Curse. What do you do when unexpected horror erupts all around you? Kathy's Curse. Kathy just wants to play with you, but please don't take her dolly. What unknown demon controls a pretty little girl? Peer into the Gimbal home. Join a spellbinding odyssey of fright. Kathy is sugar and spice and everything nice. She just likes to keep her company entertained. Kathy loves to play in the attic. You never know what Kathy will come up with next. Enter the bizarre realms of the living dead. Come to Kathy's house. She's waiting for you. She seems to be running out of friends. Kathy's Curse. She has the power to terrorize. Rated R.
You know what Kathy's curse is?
Her period?
She just can't get a date.
Oh.
Ack!
Oh, that Kathy. I get it.
Kathy the comic strip.
Yeah, okay.
She's always got messy hair and she's office lady. Just can't get a head.
She does drink coffee though, right? What's the thing with coffee? I don't know. Whatever.
I don't either. I always avoided that comic strip, but I do remember Ack.
Ack.
Ack. All right, so as usual, you get to tell us what the story's about. Because it's Canadian.
Yeah, okay, you said a boot. Okay, well, it seems as if it's a possession story.
I think it is a possession story.
Okay. A little girl is possessed by a spirit of a family member, and she wreaks havoc upon her family and the hired help because of that.
Because of what?
The possession.
Because she's possessed. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That's in a nutshell what Kathy's Curse is. Now, the rest of the movie is hard to explain.
What? It's not a very...
it's easy.
It's not a very...
Yeah, it's a simple story, and it's not like you don't understand it.
It's not a very coherently put together film.
Right.
The end. That's the movie.
Thanks for listening. Good night.
See ya. How often is that joke done, by the way?
Yeah,
I do this, like, any time you're on the show, I think I drop that joke. The cover of Kathy's Curse, which I have heard so much about, not the cover,
right,
but the movie, I've heard, this is so crazy and bonkers. So, of course, I'm like, I'm going to have to cover it on this show.
Yeah, it's got a very big reputation preceding it.
Now, it is a public domain film. You can find it on various different compilations of, you know, like 50 horror movies. And they're always trying to, like, bank on some, you know, current hot thing. Like, there's one that's called Strange Things.
Oh.
Instead of Stranger Things. It's not on that one, but that one tries to look like Stranger Things.
Uh-huh.
But it's actually just like five movies from the 80s. One of them is Pulse, which is actually decent with Joey Lawrence. And he like shoots electricity. Or there's like some haunted electricity in that movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the compilations always try to bank on those sorts of things.
Where they trick you into buying it.
And you're like, oh, it's got 50 movies. And they're all the worst quality. Not a negative, but they're pulled from like a 16 millimeter print that was transferred to VHS and played a few thousand times or 100 sometimes, maybe. And then they go, well, this is the only one that we got. And then they transfer that to DVD. And then they put that file on all of those compilations. And that's what you can find it on archive.org. Like, you can watch it there. I believe it's on YouTube. And until recently, the only version that you could find on Amazon Prime was one of those junk versions. But this version came out 2017 sometime from Severin Films, whatever. And the picture is beautiful. It's not a beautiful movie. It's not beautifully shot, but it is beautifully restored, I'll say that. Because this isn't Suspiria or anything. This is a Franco-Canadian production. So, very beginning of the movie, what happens? Because, like, this is the thing that sets it all up. What happens?
Well, it throws you right into the story. There is a little girl, and her father comes in and says some mean things about her mother.
Your mother's a bitch.
And then he scoops her up and takes her in the car.
Well, the daughter says that the mother took the brother and left. And so the little girl's just been sitting there the whole time without any supervision, without parents or anything. And so the father comes in and is really mad at the mother. It's a broken marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then the father freaks out and drives the daughter with him, just cursing the mother, away. Mother's nowhere to be seen ever. And then a bunny rabbit runs across the road and the little girl freaks out and causes a major car accident. The car explodes into fire, obviously. I mean, how else would it explode? It explodes into a poof cloud of cotton.
Well, I don't think explodes is the right word, but
eventually it
does
catch fully aflame is what I mean.
Okay.
Explodes into fire is what
I
said.
Well, okay, but
okay, it's not a Michael Bay movie.
We see them afterwards.
And they're struggling. The little girl is alive and she's struggling to get her father out and awake, but he seems to be knocked out and then they, I guess, burn.
Yeah, I guess they die. I don't know. Like, it's never really
it's never addressed after
sure.
that.
Yeah.
So then, flash forward, many, many years later, that son, who was spirited away by his mother, comes back to the house that once belonged to his dad. I guess it's just been sitting there since all that time.
But these two people have been taking care of it.
Yeah, the old couple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're a couple either.
They're not together. They are a couple of people.
Yeah, that's what I meant. An old couple of people. Paul and some other lady. And he inherits his house, and his daughter immediately takes to the attic.
She's compelled to go up there.
No, she sneaks around the rest of the house, which is part of the director's cut. Because the other stuff was just, get to the attic!
Oh.
She sneaks around. She opens up each door really slowly and deliberately, looking in. That's some director's cut material. You really want those scenes in that movie.
Oh, of doors opening?
Yeah, of her just, like, sneaking around. Oh, the suspense. It's just so thick, and I'm not serious.
Obviously. I'm just going along with it, man.
Man. So she goes up into the attic, and that's where we see the cover of the Blu-ray and the poster of the movie. She's her aunt as a little girl about her age. She's about 11.
Uh-huh.
And she also finds a dolly. And that dolly has its eyes sewn shut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It appears to be bound in a way, which comes back later.
Well, from that point, like, she becomes a weird kid. Mm-hmm. Because before that, she's not a weird kid. She's just a cute girl.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom had a miscarriage. No, was it a miscarriage?
It could be. They lost a child somehow.
So her mom had a nervous breakdown from that. And now they're here. She's supposed to be recuperating and all that stuff, and the little girl. Do you think this is deliberately a puberty horror movie?
It's hard to say. I mean, there certainly are elements of that. Okay, so let's talk about Stranger Things for a second.
Okay.
Season 2 of Stranger Things has 11 going through a sort of puberty. You know, she's coming into her own. She's dealing with having been in, you know, that institution for forever. So she's just like figuring stuff out, okay?
Yeah.
And she lashes out at any opportunity she can.
Yeah, she's a live wire.
Right. So that kind of thing is very obvious. Like, this is about puberty, basically.
The change, because with 11, she's experiencing everything for the first time, and it's scary. So when your body goes through changes, maybe less so with boys, but more so with girls, there's a moodiness that goes along with it. Actually, I think with boys, too, quite a lot. Mm-hmm. I remember being quite moody.
But in this movie, it's not as apparent, but I think that maybe that has something to do with it, but I also kind of don't think the filmmakers were intending it as that.
Well, in movies that deal with puberty horror, we can go with American Haunting, mm-hmm. where the ghost is actually a manifestation of this girl's psychic period energy. Yeah. And it's not a ghost after all, it is just psychic energy blasts from her discharge, I suppose. Right. That is really obvious and heavy-handed when that reveal happens in that film. It's just like, so obvious. This is about puberty and in the turn of the century or whatever this happened in Tennessee. We don't technology to clean up your
technology.
Hygienic, hygiene technology to make these things that go up the things. And I'm just trying to be tender about
a
it.
A tampon robot?
Yeah, no. A robot makes the tampon though.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Come on.
You come on.
Come on. Come on.
That's how we do things in Tennessee.
Yeah, robots make tampons. So this doesn't even get anywhere close to the obviousness of a more modern film.
No.
So this is why I have the question, is it a puberty movie or is it just accidental?
I think that's accidental. I really don't think that was any sort of intention. I almost would say it's a stretch to call it that, even though I understand where the idea might come from.
Right. Well, there's obviously no Carrie symbolism where at the very first reel she starts bleeding all over the place.
Yeah.
This little girl is still just a little girl.
Right.
She's 11, you know?
Yeah.
11's approaching, but not quite.
Mm-hmm.
But man, she behaves erratically.
The theme I was actually a little bit more curious about, and I also think that this is a stretch, is this a woman-hating movie?
Oh, right. Well, because at the very beginning, this stuff the father says is about her mother. He says this to the daughter who died in the fire,
mm-hmm.
whose spirit is now somehow in the doll, I think, and connected to the painting or portrait of her also in the attic. So it's like a haunted house story, but the death happened in a car. How does...
I don't know.
How does it connect?
I don't know.
How does
it
work?
Doesn't.
So, right. So, incoherent plot. And then he says, your mother's a bitch. All women are bitches.
Right. Yeah, that's the first instance of that.
He's very upset with his wife, and then, like, he just does that one step over to being a dude on the internet, being a butthole.
Mm-hmm.
All women are bitches! You know, like, shut up. Look, you got jailed. It was one lady that treated you badly. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. But that sort of carries on throughout the movie.
With the possession. So she's possessed.
Uh-huh.
Not the little girl herself doesn't give one.
Kathy. Doesn't
Kathy
care.
Kathy doesn't care one way or the other.
Laura does.
Laura is her aunt.
Yes.
She is constantly like at any moment that she can, it's usually to her mother or the psychic lady. Oh, there's a psychic lady. Or even the housewoman. It's just women are bitches. So that is definitely a little bit of they probably were thinking too deep into this, but it's a commentary on the influence of a parent and that parent's opinions, and a kid will latch on to them and make them their own.
Right, because this is sort of a strange story because Kathy's possessed by Laura. Laura doesn't seem like she would be an evil spirit.
Right.
Or, you know, it's not like this demonic thing.
She's not a bad kid when you meet her. She's just upset that her mom's gone with her brother.
Yeah, so, like, what is it that makes her so terrible in the afterlife? Or what is the story of this doll?
There's no setup for the doll.
There's no setup except the two house people, like Paul the handyman and, I'm sorry, I don't know her name.
The housekeeper lady.
They both know what this doll is. So there has to be some, like, Annabelle creation story, basically, for this doll.
Right. However, we never get that. Also, we watched the director's cut, and we never get that.
Right.
It's not excised footage or anything that they decide to shove back into the film. Oh, it's a little bit longer, but it makes sense. No, there's nothing that explains the doll.
Right.
There's nothing that hints except, well, there's the one thing that you just said. It hints there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like,
what that filthy rag you got there?
Where on earth did you find that? Give it to me. Give it to me. I want to burn it. I want to put it in the incinerator now. Give it to me, Kathy.
I can't.
Yeah. So that's weird. That's one component to this very disjointed story. Like, as we were watching this, we were saying how all these things happen in this movie. These relatively or subjectively crazy things happen in this movie, yet there's no resolve to any of them. Like, they're never addressed in the next scene.
Right, so Paul or anything. Gets coerced in a way to be drunk.
Yeah, Kathy is getting him drunk.
Yeah, and the psychic lady who meets the unhinged mother decides to come back around and meet with the mother again, but the mother has been since put back into the asylum for 3 days, get psychiatric help, because I think the mother is psychically inclined, because she keeps on saying things and addressing things that she couldn't have too much knowledge of or any knowledge of.
Right, she's kind of in a stupor on tranquilizers or something, yeah, she just starts repeating these lines of dialogue from earlier in the film that
she wasn't
other characters had said.
Yeah, especially Paul talking about the doll.
Mm-hmm.
And she keeps repeating that at one point. But that makes me think that she actually had some sort of psychic. This story could go all sorts of places. This could be remade into a much more coherent film.
I think that would be a great idea.
Kathy's curse. And it should start with the words "ack" on screen.
Yeah. You made that joke already.
I know, but I still think it's funny.
Kathy doesn't like Mondays.
No, she just can't live without her coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So the poster DVD box says,
I sent mommy to the madhouse. I scared the butler to death. I threw Nanny out the window. Now three of us are left. Daddy, Dolly, and me.
That's five people.
Kathy's curse. She has the power to terrorize.
Oh.
Right?
What power?
Well, she stares at stuff, and stuff explodes.
Explodes? Or
yes, explodes. So ignites she, on fire. No, just explodes. Bursts in their glass. She basically is a glass exploder. Her dad volunteers that this little statue of Venus is his first love, so basically got him through puberty. Heh, wink. Except he'd only been around. And seriously, that's what it implied. But he also then said, the last time I was here was when I was 4. So, like, wow, that guy started early, being infatuated with this naked statue of Venus. And then he breaks his arm immediately, and he's like, oh, crap, I'll fix it later. He does fix it later, and she just stares at it, and it bursts. It just goes,
yeah, for what? Because he likes it?
Yeah, because he likes it. That's her brother, remember?
Does she hate her brother?
I think maybe this whole thing is her hating her brother and just trying to ruin her brother's life, but he seems kind of oblivious to it all.
Yeah, you know, his character reminded me a lot of, like, Fraser Crane, but not even Fraser Crane, but also Sideshow Bob.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. It's this weird kind of thing to me.
He looks like a handsome Tarantino.
Hmm.
Kind of.
I don't know.
Yeah, they have a similar face.
I don't think that's possible.
Oh, well, it is. That guy. Alan Scarf. Anyway, so they have a Doberman Pinscher, and at one point is going off barking at the house. They look out the window, and you see the dog pointed at the house,
mm-hmm.
while the daughter is having a bad dream, freaking out because she wants the dolly. And the dad's just like, stupid dog. No, if the dog is pointed at the house, that's kind of concerning. Dogs uh-huh. usually point away from the house and bark.
Right. Like, why are you barking at me? I think it's funny that people always yell at dogs for them to stop barking. As if the dog is, one, going to understand, two, like, care. You know? Like, really?
No, I'm warning you. There's something over there. There's something over there. There's something over there.
Nah, shut up,
No, there's
dog.
Something over there.
Shut up!
No, there's something over there. It's just a cross communication.
People
lines
are
getting crossed.
Stop yelling at dogs to stop barking, because it's not gonna work.
Right.
A young girl is roasted alive in a car accident.
Roasted.
Well, that's why at the end, when she manifests herself, Laura, onto the visage of Kathy, it looks like pizza sauce on her face. Because that's supposed to be Freddy Krueger makeup.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just lunch meat.
Nah, it's a, like, a 2-day burn.
Hmm.
Third degree burns.
Yeah.
After 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah. See? So she roasted to death. So she has all this anger because she wanted to be with her brother, and her mom took her. All women are bitches. The anger. So she takes it out on all the women, but also she teases the men in the movie.
Yeah.
And she does eventually kill the butler. Like, the poster is like a big giveaway, like tells you what happens in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Drove mommy to the madhouse, scared the butler to death. Which, I don't even know how that happens. There's too many things that happen with the butler that the next scene never addresses.
You know what? He's not the butler. This says he's the butler, but he's not. He's a handyman.
That's comme ci, comme ça. That's neither here nor there.
No, it's important.
Paul is the man in question. And
Paul is dead.
Yeah, Paul is dead. He ends up being dead with a big old bloody face and his eyeball popped out. How did that happen?
Kathy did it.
Yeah, but how? Did she just stare at him?
Oh.
See, there's a lot of stuff that's unresolved, and in that sense, this is a crazy movie!
Oh, it is. It's so crazy. Oh my gosh.
But it's not the kind of crazy that blows my mind and tickles my brain.
No.
It just kind of frustrates me.
Yeah. This is the kind of movie that if people who watch just regular movies, if your favorite movies are like Spielberg movies or something, like maybe the craziest movie you ever saw before was Temple of Doom.
Okay.
You watch this movie.
Temple of Doom is badass though. It's good.
Well, yeah, okay.
But
I'm not saying it's not.
I know, but it's very common, very
right?
mass market.
You watch Kathy's Curse and it might blow your mind. It might. You might go, oh my God, this is so crazy. But
yeah,
it's not that crazy.
I don't find it to be... Okay, put it this way. I don't find it to be impressive.
Right.
Because it is a weird flick. It is strange. It isn't... Well, I mean, it's been under the radar for years, and it has the cult following of 8 people for a reason.
Yeah.
It is technically a cult film. It's not inept in the sense that... like The Room or Troll 2 are or something. But it's not too far off from the Troll 2 thing, if only from the script or editing. Because I wonder if those things were addressed in the script and then during the editing process, they just cut these little snippets out that would, I guess, resolve those scenes. Not full resolution. I don't really care for movies to fully have a resolution by the end. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. But address the scene like, Paul, are you okay? That's all you gotta do.
Right.
Address the craziness that happened in the scene prior. That's it. Just barely. Acknowledge it happened. And this movie doesn't do that, and I wonder if that was in the script that way or not. And that's where the craziness is for me.
Right, and it's kind of a letdown, and especially like you really want, you know, that medium lady, she had a really terrible experience, and she was in that attic, and there was another version of her that was like all decrepit, like talking to her.
All right,
stuff.
That's the craziest
part
of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, that was really crazy and weird, right? And then she leaves, and she's like, no, I'm not going to tell anyone, I promise.
And then nothing.
Because, Laura and Kathy threatened that if she told anybody that she'd get hurt or something, I don't know. Anyway, why doesn't she tell anybody? That is so frustrating. I mean, like, I know that she's been threatened by this little girl and this entity, but I want her to go to the father, or somebody needs to clue in this dad to what his daughter is doing, because it is so frustrating. And Paul being drunk and acting like a pirate.
Get out! Get out! Get up here!
Oh, bitch.
Oh, bitch!
Fat dried up whore.
Fat dried up old whore.
Or something. I don't know. All these things need to be addressed.
Yeah, well, Paul does kind of address one thing. I do recall this. So, Dad always has to work late because he's a foreman at a construction site. So,
yeah.
He comes home at one point and he tells Paul again. This is after... Paul had already gotten drunk. Paul had already been manipulated this way or that way. Paul had run off the psychic lady. This is already after those things. And Paul says, yeah, I can stay around. And I promise, not a drop. Meaning he won't touch the alcohol, because that's like as close as we get to addressing any of the prior scenes.
Yeah, that's funny that he would say that.
And he goes, oh, that's all right, Paul. And then he leaves.
Yeah.
Goes to work. And then Paul's around again and whatever. But... like, that's the closest we ever get to anything acknowledged of those scenes. It's just a head-scratcher. I do like the performance by the mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's not to this level, but it does remind me of Sleepaway Camp, the strange mom in sleepaway camp, how she's just really particular.
You know and I know that I've had a nervous breakdown, right?
And very much a character.
Yeah, okay.
And how she's performed. The mother here is performed in very much a character kind of way. Like, all of her decisions of performing her character seem to be deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
How she puts her words together, how she phrases things, or the cadence that she has, which is really strange.
Yeah, and she's very soft-spoken.
Until she starts screaming and getting sent to the asylum again. So the themes in this are pretty heavy, but the execution is drive-in.
Yeah. So everything culminates into the mother, Vivian, fighting with Kathy, like tumbling around, fighting. Like,
wrestling.
To get the doll away from her.
My name is Laura.
Yeah.
Because she realizes that the doll needs to be destroyed.
Or apparently, the eyes need to be unsutured.
Right. So the doll has its eyes sewn shut and its X's over the eyes. And that's the only thing that's weird about the face. I mean, other than it's an old style doll.
Yeah,
they
whatever.
They always look weird. But So you think that if the eyes are shut, sewn shut, that has been done intentionally to maybe trap something.
Bind.
Yeah, some sort of voodoo or occult thing has been done to this doll. So when the mother tears the thread out, the doll's eyes open.
Yeah, the portrait upstairs, the eyes wig out too.
Right, they go from glowing green, which is the sign that it's supernatural.
Yeah.
They go from that to being normal.
Yeah.
Just about everything that's made of glass in the house
explodes.
breaks.
Bursts.
So,
except for a vase on the table, which just falls over, and that really tickled me.
Yeah, I know. So you think that at this point, the spirit of Laura has been unleashed from this doll in possibly a bad way? Like, now she's, like, able to be out and around and...
So, wait. So, usually in a horror movie like this, you have the doll and you have to get it. And quick, we have to bind the eyes. So you quickly suture the eyes at the end of the story. And then the little tornado of ghosts goes back into the eye. And then you get to suture it up, and then you put it in a vault in the Warren's stupid museum.
Yeah, and you don't touch it again forever.
Forever. That's usually what you're saying a movie would do.
Right. So this doll, in the traditional sense, should be peaceful and shouldn't bother anybody.
Okay.
But it's the opposite in this movie. When she cuts those threads, everything goes crazy, and then all of a sudden it's like, everything's normal now.
Yeah,
and
nothing happens.
Kathy's back to normal.
And everybody just stands there and looks at each other with kind of a perplexed expression, and then turns to sort of a flatline smile. Not even a smirk or like an evil glint like you might. And now, everything's normal. Camera pushes in on the daughter's face, and then you see evil glint and the smirk. She's not gone!
No, there's none of that.
There's none of that. It's just a slight smile, and it's not evil.
Uh-huh.
It's not even a hint at evil.
Right.
She's just like, hey, done. The end.
Yeah, so I don't know if this was a very thought-out movie, Andrew.
Well, maybe it's lost in translation, because the film crew is all Quebecois, French.
Yes.
So, perhaps it was coherent in French before it was actually completely made.
Maybe. France gave the world striped shirts and berets, so I'm all cool with France.
And Luc Besson movies, and also baguettes, and also brie, and also me. Because I'm a little bit of French. So are you. Last name only. Bergeron.
Isn't that lovely?
Bergeron.
Are you trying to seduce me?
It's already happened. I'm not going to try again. It's too much work. Bergeron. So maybe it's lost in translation. Maybe it's not. I don't know. We tend to make excuses for movies that have certain heavy doses of sucky elements.
Yeah.
Especially if we want to like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they apply here.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to like this movie.
I did, because I heard, well, the question was, what's the craziest movie you've seen? And I heard, oh, Kathy's curse. And then I see on other people's posts that we know, I pay attention to what they write on their letterbox, and it's like, bonkers movie. Mm-hmm. I guess, but it doesn't make it enjoyable.
If I had seen this 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I would have probably been like, what? You know?
Yeah.
But of course, like 10 and 15 years ago, I thought that Pootie Tang was like the most insane movie ever. Too, so.
Well, it kind of is, but it's also now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I still like the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Low down and dirty, boy.
I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to do that.
Keep my name God. Out your mouth. Hey, we're married.
I think we've established that like 18 times in this episode.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know me and I know you. So anyway, I recommend you watch it while it's on Prime if you have it. If you want to just kill some time, watch
91 minutes.
Yeah, you watch it before it's gone, or maybe don't.
Yeah, okay. I don't care if you watch this movie.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, I don't regret that I have it, but I didn't buy it, so.
You got it as a gift.
Yes. Thank you, George.
George Dean.
Yes.
The immortal George Dean.
The big beardo. So that's basically, essentially, it.
Yep, I'm done.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. A tampon robot?